859-975, the Fanatic, 610-632-0975, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, 610-632-0975. We lost one of our callers, so an open line has become vacant for you if you want to check in on the Birds, 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Tyler Zuli as well, get his thoughts on the game and everything that went down yesterday in Washington against the football team. 610-632-0975. Tomorrow we're back in at 6 o'clock, so we'll have our full 4 hours tomorrow. And then we'll start at 7 on Wednesday and Thursday, 6 o'clock on Friday with the Draft Line Show with Jamie Lynch, and going until 10 on each night. So we got you covered all week, getting you ready for that. Phillies, just quickly, before we get to Paul, Phillies, Todd, we'll get you in on that one, but losing again today to the Marlins, and in the series, it just didn't look good. Just didn't look good. Just a bad weekend overall. 610-632-0975. So now let's go to Paul in Philly here on the Fanatic. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going, my guy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, what I was talking about is what I was watching the game and what my thoughts was on it is, I mean, our O-line is just completely terrible. And I mean, yeah, Wentz was playing bad. The couple passes that he did have to get off, the time that he did have to get off, he did overshoot it or miss a couple of his guys. But I mean, the O-line, that's where I would blame it. And then I blame it because of all the injuries. Our guys can't stay healthy since forever. I mean, just any little move. I mean, I forgot who was it, but I think it was Vinny Curry. He came off that guy and he didn't even get touched. He just ran and flipped his foot and he was out. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't put all the blame on Wentz, and I know a lot of Philly fans, a lot of Eagles fans are putting the blame on him and losing hope in him, but I still think he's got it. Just, you know, need to get rid of those injuries.
Well, man, I mean, I don't think many people put it all on him, but they put a good amount on him, and look, rightfully so. A lot of it should be on him because he played terribly yesterday after the 17-0 start that they had. Played terribly, man, and he had to be better. And he's supposed to be one of the leaders of the team. Malcolm Jenkins is no longer here. He is one of the leaders of this team, and he did not do that yesterday in terms of leading them to the win. When we wanted our quarterback here after his fifth year is to find a way to get it done. He did not. We saw it last year in those final few weeks that led to the postseason appearance. But he has to do that again yesterday against a team that they are much better than.
Yeah.
And he needed some help from the coaches as well.
Yeah. And I mean, when we play the Rams next week, right? And I mean, that defensive line with Aaron Donald, I'm scared for Wentz, man. He's going to get attacked hard.
No, he definitely is, man. Thanks for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. I really mean that when I say, you know, just the leadership that we want to see from Carson. Once you want to see him overall, you want to see him perform better in a situation like that, where he looks like he is not, you know, he's not frazzled by the moment. The moment doesn't bother him. And we've seen him perform in those situations before, but for some reason yesterday, it was just too much for him to overcome. And offensive line, yes, that plays a part into it. I mean, a part in it. They definitely played a part in it yesterday. The lack of weapons, yes, definitely played a part into it. But you also have to just think that mentally it got into him. And with it getting into him mentally, it threw him off. It threw him off. And when he went, they went. And he had to be better. Bottom line. Had to be better. 610-632-0975. All right, Tyler, let's get you in here before we get back to the phone calls and get your thoughts as well. Bad performance. You were in here with us during the pregame show getting ready. You predicted, and it was my fault that I didn't put it up on the screen, you predicted a close win for the Birds, 24-20. Yep. And I failed to mention it, and that's my bad.
It's all right. We talked about it on Friday.
Yeah, we did. But, I mean, my goodness, man. Just a just walking away from that one yesterday was tough.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of... I don't even want to say that it was head-scratching, because the exact things that we kind of talked about Friday that we thought were going to be the problem were the problem. You know, it was poor offensive line play that obviously was hurt even more so by the fact that Lane Johnson didn't play. The guy's not healthy. There's nothing he can do about it, but that hurts the team even more. It was... I didn't think any of the linebacking core played all that well. I look at 49 out there, Alex Singletary. I don't think he should be on the field at this point. It doesn't look like an NFL linebacker to me at this point. Although I do think that, with the exception of a couple of plays, I think Duke Riley was in the right spot most of the time. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, you saw him.
Darius Slay was as good as advertised, I think. You know, obviously what Terry McLaurin did last year to this team
did not happen.
Right. But really, quite honestly, it comes down to what we talked about earlier with the offensive line play. And it was, we're not going to hide this. We're not going to be apologists. It's not going to be anything like that. This was one of Carson Wentz's worst games as a Philadelphia Eagle. Was it entirely his fault?
Nope.
No, of course not. But what you talked about earlier, holding the ball too long, that's his fault. There was a throw that he made towards the sideline that needed to be out more. It wasn't. It got picked. That was his fault. It was a bad throw. I'm not going to put the blame solely on Carson Wentz, but he deserves a good chunk of it.
He does. He deserves a good chunk of yesterday's loss. He put it on himself and said he has to be better, but he has to display that in the next time out and make sure that that is exactly how things play out in a different way and not what we saw yesterday, because that was terrible. 610-632-0975. That is not the quarterback you expect to see when you are paying him that type of money overall. You want to see something way better from your starting and franchise quarterback to go out there and try to find a way to walk away with a W, even on the road. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones and bring in Maurice and Yaden, checking in with us here tonight on the Fanatic. Reese.
What's going on, man? Long time no hear, man.
Reese, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you been, man?
I've been good. Working hard, man. Working hard. I'm just getting off work now. Listen.
Appreciate it.
I'm hearing everybody saying that, you know, the Eagles are, we supposed to beat Washington. Washington had no business beating us. But honestly, who scares you on the Eagles defense? Like, I mean, Washington got the number one.
Well, you should be scared of Slay, Fletcher Cox. Stuff like those two. You should be scared of those two.
Do Vinnie Curry scare you?
No.
Brandon Graham scare you?
No.
I mean, like, I honestly, no disrespect to the team. I'm a longtime Eagles fan, lifer. I don't even know who the linebackers are on this thing. None of them scare me. I mean, like, seriously, we're not like, really that great on defense, so the Eagles don't scare nobody. Washington punches in the mouth, and we got our teeth knocked out.
Yeah, but Reese, once you go up 17 and then you give up 27 unanswered, you would think you would be able to mix in a few points in there somewhere. And even if you have to squeak out a win, Reese, that's what you have to do. And in this case, they just flat out did not do that. So when you talk about scaring, I understand that. I get it. But 27 unanswered after you put up 17? Nah, I didn't see that coming.
Four quarters, not two.
I know. So in those other two quarters, I expected them to do something.
That's play call. You got to blame the coach for that.
Well, he gets a lot of it.
Absolutely. You guys have a good night, bro.
All right, Reese. Thanks, man. Doug Peterson gets a lot of it. No question.
He deserves some, too. It was bad play calling. It was a bad all-around team loss. Especially when you go up 17-0. And you have an opportunity.
27 unanswered.
Not only that, but what really bugged me about yesterday in particular, obviously outside of the loss, the one sequence in general was they force Washington to punt with about 30-something seconds left in the half. Now, you have one of two options. You can take the knee, you can go into halftime up 17-0, and you get the ball to start the second half. And you've shut an offense out for the first half. Dwayne Haskins was terrible in the first half. Terrible. Throwing balls at guys' feet.
Awful.
Or you take a big shot downfield and you try to stretch the lead to at least 20. They did neither. And that's where one of Carson Wentz's picks came from. It didn't change the complexity of the game right then and there, but it changed momentum.
It did change momentum, man. It changed momentum big time, and they should be ashamed of themselves with how they performed yesterday, just flat out.
Well, and let me ask you this, too, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, I was watching the game with my dad, and I turned to my dad, and the first thing I said to him was, if you're Washington, and you were getting shut out for 28 and a half minutes, or whatever it was in the first half, and you go into the first half having played as poorly as you did, and you go into your locker room down 17-7,
uh-huh,
you have to look at this as a moral win. We've played terribly, and we're only down 10 points.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly what happened in that locker room.
Yes. Yes. All right. Terribly, man. They played terribly. 610-632-0975. And an interesting thing just happened in the game going on. You know, we don't ignore things late in the evening. As it happens, New York looked like they were going to punch in at least a score. They were close to the goal line. And Saquon Barkley took it down to, I want to say, about the 5. They still could get a first down, but they, you know, trying to get a touchdown. And second down, after giving him the ball, they tried to roll out to the left and throw it, and his arm got smacked, Daniel Jones, and it resulted in an interception. So there's that.
I know that
last play was at the 11. It looks like it says.
Red zone picks are not good.
10 at the 11 with that one. So, yeah, that was foolish.
I know the Steelers are winning right now, but there's a chance that at the end of the night, the two teams we thought that might win their first games,
mm-hmm,
will be 0-1. And the two teams we thought might lose their first games could be 1-1 or 1-0.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, man. So they got an interception right there, and they needed it because they were knocking on the door for sure, man. 610-632-0975. And I just want to make sure I had that right. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, right to the 4. I had it correctly, yes. He went to the 4, and then they decided they wanted to throw the football. So there's that. There's that. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. A short show for us this evening because of the Inside the Birds radio show here tonight with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. It was fantastic to hear them both on. There was some great insight on what's going on with the team in general. Here's one, Brendan on Twitter. O-line was horrible, but a franchise quarterback has to be better. Skill players weren't bad. Well, they weren't good either.
That's a product of their quarterback, though, too.
Yes.
You can't throw the ball to yourself.
Yeah, but
unless you're Brett Favre.
True. Now, while he should not have thrown, he should have thrown the ball better to the younger players that you were talking about, and Adam broke this down as well with he and Jeff, and they were talking about where he needs to put the ball placement and all of that. The young players are young players, too. They didn't attack the football because they did not attack the football. As young players, not realizing where they were and not going out there to just flat out, let me go get it. And then when it looked really bad for them, right, when it looked bad for them, I mean, you really don't go out there and you don't try to knock the ball down and things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? So just crazy all around, and looks crazy in this football game as well, because I think the Steelers just turned the ball over as they got a nice play, nice game they had from, who was that, Benny Snell?
It's Benny Snell.
Benny Snell.
Yeah, I think he's taking over the number one back.
From Connor?
Dude, well, at least tonight.
Yeah, well, what happened with the football? Did they return? Did Schuster get the football, or?
I can't tell, not from this angle. I will tell you this, though.
Yeah.
If that ball is Giants football, it's James cool. Connor's going to be the number one back again.
Oh, yeah. You can't give up the football like that.
No, okay. Steelers had the ball.
They recovered it? Okay. Well, he's not going to get any carries right here, and at least next, they're going to start throwing the football for that very reason. But they are in Giants territory now, so there's that. 610-632-0975. This is just, you hate following these types of games. You hate You just don't like to do it. You just don't like to do it. It is early, though. Like 76ers39 on Twitter says, these fans and radio hosts are so tired. The last 2 years, these idiots freaked out early in the season, and the Eagles made the playoffs each year. When are these geniuses going to realize that you don't go overboard early? Not every team will be sharp early. Well, I don't think anybody's going overboard. You're reacting to what you saw, 76ers39. And people are well within their right to be frustrated with what you saw.
All right, genius. So what do you want us to do? You want us to sit here and say that everything is, you know, blue skies and rainbows and sunshine, and the Eagles are going to just back, you know, find a way to backdoor into the playoffs for another year? Congrats. They won four games in a row, and it was the best games that I've seen Carson Wentz play since 2017. That was great. But it took a Herculean effort to make the playoffs. You know what avoids having to do that to make the playoffs? When you win your early games against division rivals.
It was bad.
It was not a good game.
It was bad.
So again, you know, it always comes back to what I say to you all the time. What would you like us to do? Come on the air, say everything's fine, and then have dead air for 3 hours and 59 minutes?
Right. Right. I mean, come on. Come on. We got to be realistic here, 76ers39. We can't come out here and just act as if this didn't happen. It happened. You don't like it, but it happened. I mean, come on. 610-632-0975. I mean, come on. Got to be better. Got to be better. We have to be better with that one as well. Philly Fan for Life says on Twitter, D, I'm okay with being aggressive, but you have to be smart about it. I have a problem with Doug's play calling and game planning. He was terrible. And Carson looked like a second-year quarterback instead of a fifth-year vet. Washington played under the same conditions. No preseason games, etc. Doug was outcoached and couldn't make any in-game adjustments. Washington made adjustments. And we're the better prepared team. He was outcoached. They look way better yesterday. Way better. Way better. They were better prepared. They really were. So they need to improve on a lot of things going forward. Yesterday's game, Jasper Lucas, Jay Gridlock says here on Twitter, between the Eagles and Washington, as well as what's happening, was a prime example of why I've always felt betting on football is a losing proposition. No, you can just go to DraftKings. You'll be fine. Wentz's performance yesterday may have shed some light on just why the Eagles drafted Hurts in the second round. Quite possibly. Quite possibly. They took him for a reason in the second round. Still don't like it. But
we want to be a quarterback factory.
Yes, they want to be a quarterback factory. We know.
Whatever that means.
Whatever it means, man. Whatever it means. So,
well, and Devon, too, you know, you and I have discussed this a lot when we talk about the players that were drafted afterwards, and I know you liked Epinesa a lot, and
yeah,
there were a couple other guys. Ezra Cleveland had a fringe first-round grade on him.
Yeah, and we talked about him as well. We talked about the opportunity to add to your offensive line, and you needed that help yesterday. It was clear, very clear, that you needed that help where you decided to speak to all of these. You actually decided to speak to all of these. To look at all these other things and go with Driscoll at right tackle and Nate Herbig at right guard. When we thought it was going to be Matt Pryor. The whole thing just starts off a mess. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Joe in Jersey here on the Fanatic. Joe, how you doing, Joe?
Good. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
I just wanted to, like, I feel like we all know that Carson had a bad game and the offensive line had a horrific game, so I'm not going to get into that mainly. But I want to talk about, like, the thing that stood out to me was, obviously, Zach Ertz's catch that he intended to drop on the fourth down, and he's asking for a new contract when he has 2 years on his deal. And the guy that really showed out was Goddard.
Wait a minute, you said intended to drop? You think you dropped
it? No. Like he was intending to catch it, obviously, but he unfortunately dropped it. But you're going to be asking for a new contract when you have 2 years on your deal, and a guy under you like Goddard is showing out. It just, like, I really would wish they would focus on, you know, the season and all. But and the other one is Fletcher Cox. And the thing that I took from the game, because I'm all, you know, cooled down and everything, is, like, when you look at players, and Fletcher Cox makes, I believe it's $102 million, 50-something guaranteed, you would think that guys, like, making that type of money are special. And I just don't get that from him. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but, like, watching last night, watching Aaron Donald, you could just tell he is a different type of player. And it's shocking to say.
He's special, yes.
Yeah, and he had his first game yesterday, but you watch a guy like Chase Young, and you could tell that he is going to be special. And I just don't see the impact of that from Fletcher Cox. And I know he's, you know, he can have decent games here and there, but I just feel like we've been on this Super Bowl high where we're treating these players that have come from that Super Bowl team. And I just feel like, you know, we need to move on and, you know, take these next steps. And I'm not, you know, throwing the season out the gutter, but I just, you know, I don't know.
No, I hear you, man. And the whole Zach Ertz thing is, listen, yesterday was bad for him. It was bad for him. He's done a lot, though, where certainly we can trust him when he's out there on the field. Yesterday just wasn't his day. Something looked off with him. You heard the reports from Ian Rappaport about him and how he getting into it during practice, during the week, where other players also witnessed it. You don't want to hear that going into the start of the season or any game for that matter. We understand that these things happen. Contracts, the players want that stuff to get done. But the fact that I hope it didn't carry over to the field with him. I mean, he did catch a touchdown earlier in the game. So,
right.
You know, thanks for the call, Joe. Really appreciate it, man. Dallas Goedert was great. That's the only thing that we can really look at yesterday and say was great for this football team. 610-632-0975. Darius Slay was very good, holding Terry McLaurin to 61 yards, I believe it was. So that he was good. And there are some questions still with the rest of the secondary. There were yesterday. Even though they didn't get off the receivers and tight ends, you know, still some stuff. We're going to see next week. Because they sling it. And they have stuff. Now, we know Nickell Robey-Coleman comes from there. And Darius Slay is going to be on somebody. I don't know, Robert Woods. I have no idea what they're going to do. But next week is going to be one, of course, that we will all be locked in on as we should be. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. We'll get to our final phone calls on the other side as we get to our final segment as we take you to 10. Talking about the Birds and what happened yesterday. 27-17 loss to the Washington football team. I didn't see that one coming. What about you? What stood out? What do we need to get off our chest? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens. Final segment upcoming right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
.931 here on The Fanatic. Final segment, 610-632-0975. Talking Birds, and I'm not going to say we're trying to calm everyone down. We're just simply trying to have a good conversation. Let's just say that. We're just trying to have a good conversation. There's some well-thought-out things about the Birds, and look, we're all frustrated. We can all react the way that we react because it's fair. We watched it. We saw how terribly they played. Then we chat about it. And chat about a lot of those things. 610-632-0975. 97.5. All right, as promised, let's get back to the phones, give everybody an opportunity before we get out of here. Since we are on here for 2 hours, we said we would breeze through these phone calls and give everybody a chance, and we give Lance a go here in Arizona. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Devon. So, like I said last week, man, this team, they're not as talented as people thought, because it was fool's gold at the end of last year. They played a bunch of bad teams, and Dallas Cowboys came into that game with Dak having a bum shoulder. These are the things that, like, if you remember back to 2011, there was that fool's gold where they won four games at the end of the year, and then they thought they were going to be really good the next year, and then they had offensive line issues the whole next year. That's kind of what this feels like. Like, this might be their worst offensive line since 2012. Like, I look at it this way. This has been a steady decline from the Eagles since that Super Bowl year. You're seeing them go backwards. And a lot of this starts with how you build your team and how you draft. Like, your 2004 and your 2015 draft, you have nobody on the roster. That's pretty hard to do, to have nobody on your roster from those. And then you look at 2017. Barnett can't even get on the field because he's hurt.
Right.
And then the only other two guys you have on the roster are Mailata, who shouldn't even be out there, man. Like, you saw when he was out there, he couldn't even extend his arm to get a block.
I know.
That's how bad he was.
Yeah.
And then you have Nate Jerry, who, frankly, is just an average linebacker. And then I look at the 2019 class. The only person that was on the field yesterday for that 2019 class is Jajaw. And he had zero targets, because when you watch the All-22, he couldn't get open. And they only used him in the red zone because that's what they think of him, that he's only useful to them in a value situation in the red zone. That's a problem.
All of that is a problem. This whole thing here is a problem for this team right now, man. It really is. Really is.
And I look at it this way. Like, Carson did not play well. He did not play well. Like those two interceptions, they weren't all his fault. Some of them was your rookie wide receivers. You don't have time with them because you didn't have the offseason that you had. You didn't have all that time to spend with them on OTAs and minicamp and all that. And they didn't run precise routes, because if you also watch that on All-22, they talked about it on Birds with before you guys. They talked about it. They didn't do great routes because they're rookies. This is why when I said to you guys over the offseason, go after Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson yesterday had 115 yards and a touchdown, and a 75-yard touchdown. You could have used that. To me, they've made so many bad moves with their free agents since the Super Bowl. It's comical when you go look at the guys that they've signed and what they've produced. And then, to me, this. Okay, the Jalen Hurts pick, I didn't like it at the time, and now I really don't like it, because you kept telling me, not you, but the Eagles kept telling me during camp of how great he was. If he was so great, he should be behind Carson Wentz, backing him up if he looked that great in camp. So he didn't look that great to overtake a Sudfeld, who has no future here. And then on top of the thing with Jalen Hurts that bothers me is all this hype that, oh, we're going to run Taysom Hill type stuff. He was a rookie in a pandemic year, not enough time to put that in there. And you're asking him to learn to be a quarterback, and you're going to give him packages to do that early in the season? That didn't make sense. Lastly, this is my last point. The running game wasn't working, but you boasted about how you were going to reflect what the San Francisco 49ers were doing. You know what the San Francisco 49ers did last year to get Deebo Samuel the ball? End right. around.
Uh-huh.
Motion handoff. You have guys that you could do that with. Where was it with Jalen Reagor? He's perfect for that.
Yep.
Same thing with Hightower. They're perfect for that.
Yep.
You didn't do that. So when I get here, the running game didn't work, the running backs weren't good enough, so we had to abandon it. No, you didn't have to abandon it. You had to become more creative. And the Eagles, for some reason, every single year since the Super Bowl, it's taken until December to understand their personnel, to understand what they have to do to be more creative. That's the problem.
And listen, Lance, thanks for the call, man. We'll hear from you again sometime during the week. We talk about those specialty plays, those creative plays, and getting others involved in general, man. And unfortunately, they didn't give it to us the way we wanted to see it. Now, you don't do everything in the first game of the season, but mix that stuff in. Absolutely mix that stuff in. I mean, come on. Mix some of those things in. Yeah, you showed a little bit early, but so what? So what? Put it out there on the table and let them figure it out. I mean, come on. A little end around from time to time. Jet sweep. Get those young guys loose. Put that speed out there.
I don't know if you have the, I don't know if you have the personnel to do it.
What do you mean, blocking-wise?
I don't mean the skill receivers. I mean, when this offensive line was at its best in 2017, what was one thing that we always noted that they did? Jason Kelce was always in the second level. Brandon Brooks in the second level. Even Peters, who was slower, was still making some plays.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I trust the offensive line at this point right now to seal the edge or to keep the guy that's coming in motion upright and protected. I don't know if they have the ability to run trick plays. Not even trick play. You know, jet sweep's not a trick play.
No, it's not. It's a common thing.
It used to be.
Yeah.
It's not a trick play anymore. It's just, action. It's activity. It's movement. I don't trust them to be able to successfully run it.
Fair enough. 610-632-0975. Fair enough. Really fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. Fred and Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. First time caller here.
Thank you.
I love your show. Anyway, there's a couple of points that I wanted to get to. A couple of concerns and also a bright spot that I think everybody has been missing. Everyone's talking about, Dallas Goedert had a great game, and he did, absolutely, 100-something yards. That catch for the touchdown was fantastic. He made a great adjustment on that ball. But, and we saw a lot of him, our punter, Cam Johnson, had a heck of a game. I mean, how many times did he boot the ball 50, 60 yards where you see the punt returner running back, backing up on it, and booming kicks, too?
Yep.
And that was important in a game like that. That fourth down play around midfield, it would have been nice to see if he could have pinned the ball inside of the 10, but unfortunately coach didn't think that was a good time to use him. Which brings me to my second point. Doug Peterson, love the guy. He brought us our first Super Bowl ever. And he is a great coach, but he's not a play caller. He's not a good play caller. His prescribed plays, his first 15 or so plays in the game, those always look good. They play to our team's strengths and our opponent's weaknesses really well. But then after that, it seems like the opposing coach always makes adjustments. And Doug just doesn't do that. He kind of gets it in his mind this is how we're playing this team, and if we're up, we're going to continue doing this, or if we're down, we're going to start doing this. But it's never, you never see those sharp adjustments in game that, I hate to say it, but us fans are screaming at the TV. Was it yesterday? Yeah, jeez, it was just yesterday. We're up 17 points and we're not necessarily thinking run the ball every damn play, but you don't need to press like they were, especially against Washington's defensive line, with our offensive line the way it is, with Miles Sanders, who does a great job not only running the ball but blocking, picking up the blitzers out of the game. Wentz had very limited time in the pocket, but they're still running these plays that take time to develop. And it's like, how are we all seeing this? And we're all your callers today and all my friends and stuff that I'm talking to, we're all seeing this stuff. How is our coach not seeing this and making the adjustments? And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the end around, the jet sweeps.
Stuff. Yeah, just different things, especially when your basic stuff is not working right now. Something is off. Try to incorporate. And listen, I might be wrong. We might be wrong, you and I, Fred and Tyler, when we say, hey, you know what? Mix in some of these little gadget things and throw them off a little bit. Maybe we're wrong. But maybe we're right as well when you try something like that. And as good as that defense is, they might be unprepared for whatever you're throwing like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's Frank Reich, man, God bless him. When he was here, and our star quarterback on route for an MVP season in 2017, gets injured, and we go with our backup, Nick Foles. You know, he adjusted. He changed the game plan to play on Foles' strength, on Foles' strength, which is reading defenses, the play options, and getting rid of the ball quickly. So now, why is Wentz being forced to be this pocket quarterback when, A, he's not? He does his best when he rolls out of the pocket, yep, when he improvises, and there's no pocket with this offensive line anyway. Like, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it just didn't work. Didn't work this past Sunday, and that's a bad loss. And, you know, I wish that we could say, like, in 20 years or something, but it's as bad a loss as we've seen since last season's Miami game.
Yeah, that was, man, that one, you made me think about that one again, Fred. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Hey, man. Thank you, man. Devontae Parker. To you too, man. Thanks, man. Don't be a stranger. Devontae Parker is still catching footballs. Man. Yeah, that was a tough one for sure. That was definitely a tough one. 610-632-0975. Oh, for sure. That was a tough one. Man, I don't know. That Miami game for sure, man, that was a bad one. That was a bad one, but this one left a bad taste in your mouth from yesterday as well. Really bad taste in your mouth. Yep. Man. I really have to deal with this stuff. Jasper says Lance made a good call again. Football games are won and lost in the trenches, and unless and until the Eagles address their offensive line woes, they aren't going to win anything. And Andy Reid told us that for years. Andy Reid told us that for many, many years. And we always looked at it and said, why are you drafting this one here? Why are you drafting this one there? Why are we doing this right now? And man, every opportunity when we look, he was right. You take those guys, and like you said, Ezra Cleveland, we brought him up at the time, you, Joe Torti, and I, when we were doing the draft that night, Ezra Cleveland sitting there in the second round, we were like, yeah. Uh-huh.
That guy was a fringe first round pick.
Yeah, you
like,
go for it.
You don't, okay, you don't like him at 30, 31. What's he, like the 35th ranked prospect? Something like that?
Yeah. He was there.
He was there.
An extra offensive lineman body.
And listen, it's everything, obviously hindsight is 20/20. It always is. But I think the point that you and I have made a couple of times, and Joe Torti's made throughout the months and everything, is the amount of players that could have been impactful at that spot that went, you know, two picks, four picks, you know, even to the end of the second round. Jeremy Chinn was the last pick in the second round.
Yeah.
There were too many guys that were that could have been impactful to have selected a quarterback there.
Man. By the way, Joe Torti predicting they would lose.
This is the only one of us. He got it right.
Got it right.
He nailed it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he called the Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz thing last year. Now, it was only game one, but he just pointed out that, hey, the Eagles' best tight end is Dallas Goedert, as good as Zach Ertz is. And that's a big statement. And he was right. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones. We head to Blackwood, talk to Nick on the Fanatic. Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, man?
Oh, rough after yesterday, man.
Big time.
So, first time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to call and touch on Wentz, man. Listen, I love him. I love him, but I think we all need to realize he really might not be the franchise quarterback that we saw, you know, in 2017. ACL injury like that, you know, ACL, MCL, whatever it was, you know.
ACL, yep.
ACL, right.
I think some other stuff in there, maybe the MCL also.
Right, right. And that, you know, I played sports my whole life, and I had teammates. Thankfully, I never had, you know, but I had teammates that tore ACL. They came back and was like, who is this guy, man? He's slow now, you know, and it's sad because, you know, 2017, yesterday, you know, eight sacks, that's ridiculous, you know? He's got to at least be able to move enough to get out of there and get rid of it, throw it away. 2017, those plays he made, you know, protection failed, he rolled out, ducking under guys, dodging guys, you know, and throwing it downfield. You don't see that anymore. You haven't seen that in, you know, since 2017, we haven't seen that with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame.
Well,
but,
we saw some good stuff at the end of last season, but, you know.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So to be fair, we saw a little bit more there. And you just hope that he does it again, and hopefully he rebounds. Look, going against Jared Goff, we know the feature there is going to be the two quarterbacks drafted in the same draft together, and turns out to be the best one, Carson, so far. Each of them have been to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff led his. That's going to be the focus next week. You want to make sure you outplay that guy and walk away with the win against that good defense, because you don't want to go down 0-2.
No. And that, you know, I think yesterday you seen it. The play before, the pick before the half, that kind of turned the game. You know, 17-0 and 17-7. Like you said, 17-7, you go into half after playing that bad and you're only down 10, you feel a lot better than, you know, 17-0. So that, I think that was a turning point. Guys going down left and right in the second half. You know, you kind of seen it coming. And last point I want to make, Doug Peterson makes some, you know, real. He's always, you know, made some questionable calls, but 4 minutes left at our own 40, you know, three timeouts, you got to punt that ball, right?
Yes, but you know what he does, man. You know what he does, Nick.
Yeah,
he goes for it. Thanks, man. Again, he continues to stay aggressive, and that's what Doug Peterson, that's what he does. That's what he does.
You can be aggressive when you have the personnel to do it.
100%.
They don't right now.
They do not, man. They do not. I guess I have to say this again. I need to say this again, even though we did it already. All right, we don't have to do it. Fanatic Football Pool. Everybody heard about it.
We did have a winner today.
We did have a winner.
Or I should say a qualifier.
Qualifier. He did win $100.
Yes.
Rob from Morristown.
Ron.
Yes. From Morristown. Congrats, Ron, winning that cash. And now he qualifies for the other cash, $1,000.
And a pretty cool pool of
pretty good
different goodies.
Of a lot of different prizes that will continue to be added on to. Quickly, Ty, the Phillies again.
Yes.
They only win one of the seven games, in the seven games in Miami with their seven-game series. That's not good.
No, we talked about it when the series started. They had to win four, and I thought four was being generous. You know, you and I were talking about they have to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people, you know, say they've got to win five or six.
Uh-huh.
Because now it comes to the point you win two out of seven, you have to sweep the Mets. I know the Mets aren't great, but it's still not, you know, sweeping any team is difficult.
Sweeping any team is difficult. Yeah, you're 100% right. What was the other thing? Oh, the Sixers. Jason Dumas is reporting on Twitter. He's a sports director, but I think he's from here. And sports director at KRON for News. Jason Dumas is reporting that sources tell him the Sixers will meet with Mike D'Antoni and Billy Donovan in Camden this week for the vacant head coaching position right now. So there's that. And not surprised. Maybe I'll have some stuff for you guys going forward about that as well, as we still wait for the Sixers to hire someone at some point. I still don't think it's going to be Ime Udoka like people have been talking about. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. All right, Todd, that'll do it. That was a quick one. So we're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Here on the Fanatic, since we had the Inside the Birds podcast, the radio show here, and it's great to have those two gentlemen back, Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan. So happy that they're back here for the football season. Thanks to all the callers, thanks to all the tweeters, everybody who listened. We'll be back for a 4-hour run tomorrow from 6 to 10. Tyler and I will be here, and we have a lot to get into. We, you know, we have a side topic all ready to go, and we have a conversation piece to talk about as well with the Birds, now 0-1 on the season. 610-632-0975. We will talk to you tomorrow right here, 6 o'clock. Have a good night, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.